Yes, two very short readings this morning from John 10, verse 27. Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." And the second reading is John 8, verse 47. "Whoever belongs to God hears what God says." Amen.
Thank you. Can we have the slides up, please? Now, last week we had Jane talking to us about hearing God's voice and how different ways in which we hear God's voice. So we're sort of following on a little bit from that theme. I didn't know she was going to talk on that last week. And I was leading prayers last Sunday, and we were thinking on the theme of hearing God's voice. And I felt God was saying to me, keep it going. So he's called us to be a people of prayer, but he's also called us to be a listening people. And we need to remember and to learn how to listen. Sometimes we need to remind ourselves, even I feel like I'm talking to what was it, teaching grandmothers to suck eggs or something. I feel a bit like that, because you know all this, and this is for me as well. This is talking to me as well. It's not just for you guys, but it's for all of us to just remember sometimes, and we need to hear about these things. Right, let's see if I can get this going. Oh yes, I'm on. Right. I can't remember who to poke it to, point it to. Anywhere is not working. Oh gosh, that's small on that one. Yeah, it's a really big one. You do your PowerPoints, you know, it's really big. Is that, okay, thanks. Okay, so in the Bible, looking up different texts, and we hear God spoke to people in different ways through dreams and visions, as with Joseph, through angelic visitations, as with Mary and the shepherds, through impressions and reflection on scripture, through thunder, as with Moses, and with the audible voice, with Samuel, as we heard last week, and Jesus' baptism, through the transfiguration, before the crucifixion, but also in the quiet places. As with Psalm 46, verse 10, we're told to be still and know that I am God. And God spoke directly also to many people. And in Genesis, we've got all these different verses in Genesis. So Adam and Eve, Cain, Abraham, Jacob, Moses, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Nathan, Elijah. It goes on and on, really, the list. But the last person that God spoke before the arrival of Jesus was, in fact, John the Baptist in Luke 16:16. I've already lost my place, sorry. So, how does God speak to us today, and how do we recognize his voice? Well, we spend time with him. We need to spend time getting to know him, as with all relationships. It's all about this having a relationship with God the Father through Jesus the Son, through the power of the Holy Spirit. And getting to know, when we're with somebody, we long enough and having that relationship, we get to know the way they think. And it's a matter of letting him make his home in our hearts. But it's like with my granddaughter, who's only 7, she finishes my sentences for me already. When I start getting stuck in what word I'm looking for, she'll come up and say it. And it cracks me up. I mean, a 7-year-old can actually do that already, because we have a relationship. And we live in the same house. We get to know each other. And I've been a Christian for 15 years before I realized there is more to a relationship with God than just accepting Jesus as my savior. And I felt it deep down that there must be more, and the hunger started to grow. And it started to grow to the point I knew I was missing something. But God never lets us grow hungry. So through various people, I heard about two men in particular, John Wimber, whom many of you have heard of, an American, and an Englishman called David Pitches. And something called the power of the Holy Spirit, which I'd never heard of before. I knew that you received the Holy Spirit in your heart when you became a Christian, but that was the end of it as far as I was aware. But all of these three people have had a huge impact on my life, and I'll always be grateful for the first two for the part they played in teaching me about the third, the power of the Holy Spirit. Through David Pitch's teaching, I learned about the various gifts of the Holy Spirit, words of knowledge and prophecy being the two that impacted me the most. And both require listening to God and putting into practice what we've heard. Receiving words of knowledge is usually about specific issues in our life that God wants to draw our attention to in order to heal, guide, or comfort. So how do we receive words of knowledge? First of all, asking, and then expecting an answer. Quite often we ask and don't actually expect God to do anything or say anything to us. And through a sudden sense or pain in our own bodies, and that's how it started with me when I first started getting words of knowledge. Pictures or visions and dreams. And as David Pitches used to like to say, a knowing in your knower, because there's no other way of putting it. But it's also about trusting what you hear and obeying. But when I first started learning about words of knowledge and I'd asked God to give me something, I was very reluctant to speak out. It was all very new to me, and I'd be honest, I was scared. I was in a meeting of about 300 people, and I had a sense or a feeling of coldness on the left side of my face, and I thought, oh, I was sort of looking around, thought maybe if it is God, somebody else will say it, you know, and then looked around again and thought, well, I'm sitting near an open door, maybe it's just a draft on my face. And so I didn't exactly dismiss it, but I said to God quietly, Lord, if this is from you, please let somebody else speak it out. And immediately somebody spoke it out. And it was somebody had a problem with the left side of their face in their jaw, and that person was able to respond and went forward. So that boosted my confidence, just knowing, well, maybe it was God, you know, it is God, he is doing something. And it's like asking and expecting to receive. And that helped me get growing into that gifting. And David Pitches sort of once recalled literally seeing a picture. When he first started getting pictures, he would be standing at the front like I am now and preaching, and would see on the far wall a picture, an actual picture of something, and he saw a picture of a coccyx, which, for those that are not sure what that is, tail, your tailbone, right? So he saw a picture of a tailbone, and next to it, a potato chip, and he thought, well, what, you know, God, what is that? And it's like that. I was trying to think yesterday the name of this program, and I can't think what it's called, where you see what you say what you see. What was it? Catchphrase, yes. I used to love that program. I was no good at it, but it's but it's people make it so hard and make it more complicated than it is. You just say what you see. And he said, I feel like somebody's got a chipped coccyx. And they, that person, there was a person that had that, and they responded and were healed of that, that problem. So, and then another time he recalls when that he saw a picture of a banana, and of course thought he was going, oh, this is nuts, you know, really doesn't feel right. But he spoke it out anyway. And of course it got a lot of laughter when he spoke it out, people sort of also thinking he was nuts probably, that he spoke it out. So he obeyed what he heard. He trusted God was doing something through that word. And nobody came forward at that time, but at the end of the service, a lady came up to him and said that she had a potassium deficiency. And of course, the bananas are full of potassium. So, you know, it's, we can't limit the way we hear God. Is He speaks to us the way He chooses, and we have to be open. But so it's not just about listening, but acting upon what we hear, and not putting God in a box. And if you ask, expect to receive. And if you receive, trust and obey. And I've shared before how when I've had a problem praying for God to show me clearly and saying to Him, I need it in black and white. I need the answer in black and white. And on two separate occasions, He gave me the answer in great big bold black and white letters. And it's, you know, God knows our inadequacies, our self confidence being, you know, lacking. And when we're sort of listening to God, we want to hear right, don't we? Especially when we're making big decisions. And we don't always get it right. But, and I used to get words like that a lot. And I was once told, look for the supernatural in the natural things around us. Now, these days, quite often I get pictures or visions in my dreams. And more often than not, I think it's because it's the only time I'm quiet long enough for Him to get through to me. It's the only time that He can get a foot in. So I don't get sleep those nights, but God gets through. Now, I remember the very first dream that I had, and I didn't, this was before I knew anything about prophecies. It was a prophetic dream. And it was back in, I dread to think when it was, quite a long time ago, when my children were very small. I was stuck at home looking after the children while the husband did all the fun things. And my husband had owned an old double-decker bus, London double-decker bus. The sort, it was called an RTL, if any of you know what that is. Bigger than the Route Masters, and no power steering, semi-automatic. He owned one with a friend who owned a coach, and they got asked to take people out to the Louis Palau mission that was taking place in London at the time. It was back in the 80s, and so he was busy going off, having fun, meeting all these people. There's me stuck at home with the kids, you know, slightly bit disgruntled and not very happy about it. So I said to him that I fancy having a go at driving it, you see, and not liking heights, it was quite a challenge. And once I finally got into the cab, of being quite high off the ground, that was a challenge in itself. I just sat there, and it has its own suspension, so it was sort of a little bit, ooh, you know, a bit not nice, let's say. I thought, I can't do this, and I didn't get any further than that. I really can't do this, I don't like it. And was frustrated with myself for not properly giving it a try. That night, I had a dream, and it was of me driving this bus around with all these people and taking them to this our big mission in London. So the next day I said to my husband, I've got to give it another go. I know I can do this. And I did. And I drove that bus around. The first time I drove it with people in, I had 76 people on board. And it was not having power steering, going around corners is very interesting. And but especially on the streets of London, it's, but I'll tell you one thing, it was a great boost to my confidence. And I thought, that has got to be God, because there's no way I would have given it another try. And I went on to do quite a few different things with driving the buses and the coach, which is completely different stories again. And jumping several years to about 2021, I had a picture of this church. And I've shared this many times. Unfortunately, I couldn't find it because I wanted to put it up to show you that it was the picture of the prayer circle for this church with different sections of prayer warriors, protectors, intercessors, what God is doing through this church through prayer. And that is something that we've been reminded of in our weeks of prayer again as well. So, what about coincidences? Do you believe in coincidences? I believe these to be God-given moments for change. And I don't believe in coincidences. Around March 2019, Lorraine, my youngest daughter, her life suddenly took a nosedive. Very unexpectedly, she found herself a single mum with two children under two and a dog. She was jobless, homeless, with nowhere to turn, and was only offered B&B accommodation by the council. My other daughter, Catherine, lived in Cotton End at that time, and knew somebody who had an empty house. He just had it sitting there empty, had plans to do it up and rent it out. So, and this house happened to be in some obscure little town called Stotfold. So being, we were both living in Hemel Hempstead at the time. I had a little flat there, and she was living with her partner. She loved it, Hemel Hempstead. Did not want to leave, but could not see any alternative. So she, the house was offered to her, no deposit required, and this guy pulled out all the stops to get the house ready for her. And she only ended up with just 1 week being homeless and slept on my floor in my flat for that week. But I just love it when God uses non-Christians to get the job done. And it's just, I thought, it's great, great stuff. And we praise God for that. But this God-given moment of change for Lorraine led me to visiting Lorraine at weekends up here. And we both came along to KBC. And after a few months, I felt a nudge about moving to Stotfold. I felt this is the place where I could possibly see the fulfillment of a prophecy given to me back in 1990s. But there was a problem. I lived in Hemel Hempstead. I worked in Paddington. And that in itself was far enough to travel without going further north. This is very further north for me. I know it makes me laugh now when I think of this as being north. But at the end of 2019, the nudge, it became more of a push and a pull. And I was asking God, yes, but how? I can't move without a job to be able to then pay for rent. And the only answer I got was trust and obey. Trust that he knew what he was doing and would supply the need of a job. So through various coincidences, I had to obey and be prepared to give up everything that I currently knew. I was on a time limit with the lease on my flat due to it being due for renewal, the lease being due for renewal. So I took the plunge one day and handed in my notice at work, and trusting that God would do something. So he's got to do something, because I don't know what to do. And being of a certain age, I didn't think it would be that easy for me just to go out and get another job. So I handed in my notice, and immediately my employers turned around and said, "I'm sure we can work something out." They were prepared for me to work from home for the majority of the week. So that was my answer. Yes, I'm on the right track. So everything went ahead to move up here. And of course, then the next hurdle is, where do I live? And at the back of the house Lorraine is in, there's a little annex. I think it might be a converted garage, to be fair, but there's a room on the back. It was self-contained, has got its own shower and little kitchenette. And it was just full of junk that the guy had moved into there when he was doing up the rest of the house for Lorraine to move into. So, but then he started pushing her to rent it out. And she didn't really want to rent it out to a stranger with two small children in the house, because the entrance was through the house. It wasn't completely separate. So that's where I ended up. So God provided, he provided the job and the house. And the day that I moved on the 28th of March 2020, the day COVID lockdown started. And if I hadn't listened to what God was telling me to do and responded when I did, or by the time I did, a day later, I would have been stuck in Hemel Hempstead on my own in a one-bedroom flat for a year at least. So God knows, doesn't he? He knows what we're about and what we need to do. So Lorraine's devastation turned to joy and new friendships for us both. And my obedience to God's call has deepened my relationship with him in ways beyond description. None of this has happened without its own hardships and trials. And, you know, it's no life in general happens, doesn't it, and gets us all. But it's all been according to his will and for his purpose. And because we don't see him working doesn't mean to say he's not, like the song says, waymaker. We may not see him working, but he's there busy doing things, getting other things in place for us. So I don't believe in coincidences, but I do believe God speaks to us today. So we need to learn how to listen and expect. So four ways of hearing God's voice is to expect to hear from God, be obedient with the small things as well as the large things, learn to discern his voice. Quite often that is the sticking point, I think, is that, well, is it you, God, or is it me wanting this? Or, but Lord, if I do that, then this might happen, and don't know if I really want to take the chance. But if we line what God tells us up with his word in the Bible, then we should be on safe ground, I think. So I would like us to listen to this song, because really it is all about our relationship with our loving Father, our Saviour Jesus Christ, and listening through the power of the Holy Spirit and really taking time to hear what he has to say. So that can come down, actually. We're just listen. I'm not putting the words up, we're just listening to the song. Prayerful attitude.
The more I seek you, From the cup in your hand, lay back against you.